State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong,
and asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
The Recession Podcast with yours truly, Jeezy, is a production of Black Effect and iHeartRadio. This is Jeezy, Grammy-nominated urban philosopher, philanthropist, and entrepreneur, and this is my show, The Recession Podcast. For years, I used my music to highlight the struggles and issues facing this country, the economy, politics, protests, mental health, and more. And now, strong voices are more important than ever before. On this show, I will speak to powerful people from all walks of life to have real conversations about change, perseverance, and hope. And each episode will feature a sample of a song from my new album, The Recession 2. So without further ado, let's begin The Recession Podcast. Let's get it. Today's conversation is about the double-edged sword of fame, the highs, the lows, and everything in between. My guest today is no stranger to the spotlight. She's a singer, actress, and has collaborated with me on my last album, The Recession 2. Ladies and gentlemen, none other than Demi Lovato. Welcome to The Recession Podcast. But before we get started, here's a sample of the song that inspired this conversation today, and it's entitled, My Reputation. Let's get it. This is our first time meeting face to face, virtual, the new norm. We linked up a few months ago. Your team reached out for me to get on a record, which was phenomenal.
Thank you for
whatever project you was working on at the time. And I heard your voice, and I was just like, wow, like this is like she. I got to bring her to the cookout.
So
I reached out. I reached out and asked her to join me in Lil Duval on My Reputation on my latest project, Recession 2. And here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Demi Lovato, my
Hello. Sis.
Thank you for coming to the Recession Podcast by Jeezy.
Yes.
And that wasn't even your introduction. That's my introduction to you.
Yeah. So thank you.
That was like, you know, I had to give you the bro introduction.
And
I just, you know, it's crazy because when I first
really started getting into who you are as a person, I was just like, wow, like, she's deep and she's dope. And you've been a star for a long time.
Yeah.
Like a very, very long. I was a star at the Amoco. That's like the corner store where everybody hang out and everybody knew me like Lil J. But I was about 10 too. Just so you know, I was about 10 years old and I was shining a little bit. But you've been a star since you was 10. Like, tell us about that.
Well, first of all, thank you for everything you just said. That was the best introduction. You're so awesome. And I'm so grateful that we got to work together because, yes, I feel like my reputation is so fantastic as a song, but like also the other song that you did, that we did together called, I don't know if I can even say it yet, but that one, I feel like you just go off, and it was an honor having you on that record. So thank you, first of all.
You're welcome.
And secondly, yeah, I mean, I started in the industry at a really young age. I started on Barney and Friends when I was 7 years old. And so I've been working on sets since I was seven, eight years old. And it wasn't until I was about 14 that I booked my first Disney job. And then, but the second you book something with Disney Channel, I mean, that fan base, their fan base, they know who you are. You don't even have to like have filmed a project. As the second you book it, the fans know. And I was recognized before I had even shot anything. It was wild.
Wow. It's crazy because I think I was watching Barney back then, so I might have been a fan and didn't know it. Barney was a cool guy.
Yeah.
I mean, but what was that like? So as you growing up, is this something that you want? Like, are you just naturally the life of the party? Are you the one that's doing all the routines at the Christmas tree? Like, how does this work?
I started in beauty pageants, actually, because in the South, it's a very common thing for you know, people to get involved in beauty pageants. And so I did. And from beauty pageants is where I got hooked up with an acting coach and then an agent and all of that. And so it kind of got the ball rolling on that. And but I had also been performing like in the talent show, you know, at my school every year. And I loved performing, and I knew I wanted to be a singer, and I didn't know how I was going to get to the top, but I knew I wanted to make it. And so I just focused real hard and worked at it.
Wow. You say the South, what the South part of?
I'm from Dallas, Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You from what's Rudy's Chicken and all that. Okay.
Cliff. What? I never had Rudy's Chicken.
Well,
I
listen, next time you go to Dallas, you're going with your girl. I'm going to take you back home. We're going to Rudy's. We're going to turn
up.
Oh,
hell yeah. Let's go.
We're going to go to Rudy's Chicken. I love Dallas. Dallas has its own, it has its own personality. Like, you know, people when you see them from Dallas and their music scene is jumping right now, and that's dope. So you started off so young. Was it something like your parents pushed you to do, as far as like, you know, because like even my dad, you know, he thought I was cool. I mean, I couldn't sing, you know, definitely couldn't sing. I thought I could dance. But, you know, he tried to push me in other directions. But sometimes, you know, when you're that young, it just intriguing to me that you would know exactly what you wanted. Like, you know, you kind of.
Yeah. Well, I think I didn't totally know, obviously, because when you're that young, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. And I think my mom was a country singer, and she was really, really close to making it. And she opened for some really, really awesome country musicians, George Strait, Reba McEntire. And, you know, so I think I was around her singing all the time. So I knew that, like, I knew I loved music. And then when I started singing, I started performing in my talent shows at school. And my mom was just really supportive of that. And she really encouraged me to just follow my dreams. And, you know, I think the beauty pageants, it was like a way for me to get on stage and perform without making it big time yet.
Right.
So it was just like, it was kind of convenient. We had family members that had done the pageants for years. So we got involved in that. And then it kind of just evolved into a career. You know, I think even if I was, I don't know, as much as I love music now, I don't know if I would get into the game again if I could start all over again, because it is such a, it's a crazy industry, and it's right. kind of like nobody's really supposed to be idolized the way that that musicians are, just as humans. We're not supposed to be put on that pedestal. So it's right. it's really interesting when you start to think about it. And hell no, I had no idea I was getting myself into that at five.
Wow. But for you to say you wouldn't do it all again, because I know through like the beginning, so vice versa for me. So I chose music because it was a way out of poverty and mm-hmm. in my situation. I was trying to dodge a lot of things that were coming at me. And it's crazy because I think about that too. Like, would I do it all again? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I left one game and got into another, and you're looking for a safe haven there, and it's really a little more cutthroat, because at least the game I came from, you know the rules and you know the consequences. But this is a little different because you got crooked lawyers, you got crooked people, you got, you know, the industry's really cutthroat. Nobody's really loyal, especially nowadays. It's so different, and to hear you say you don't know if you would do it again, it's crazy, because sometimes I think that to myself, I'm like, damn, like, is it really worth it? And it's crazy that you say when you're idolized, because I had to realize myself that it's not me, because I'm not that great. I'm not the greatest. It's my gift. You like my gift.
Right.
You like what I'm able to do when I put it together. And when I started to come to realization with that, it made it a little easy for me to cope, because it's almost like you're in this position where people look up to you. They look at you like you can make no mistakes. You can do no wrong. And you're going, nah, like I'm doing, you know, I'm making mistakes every day.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out things every day. I'm fighting my own, you know, situations and my own turmoil and my own problems, my family things, and I'm dealing with that. And I'm trying to keep it away from what I do. And then when they see you, they just idolize you so much. And it's just like, you know, you love my gift. It's not me. I'm not that great, you know.
Right.
You know, so I had to come to grips with that. Yeah. What would you say would be like the gift and the curse in the game? Because I feel like it has a lot of gifts. And it does have a lot of curses. And I think you got to kind of balance it out somewhere and take the good with the bad, like my grandmother used to say. But I think it just has both. I mean, could you speak on any like gifts you felt like, or any curses you felt like you had to work through, is just as far as fame is concerned?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like the biggest gift has been being able to help others in whatever capacity that is, whether that's lending my music to someone on a lonely Friday night and they're sad and they're going through a breakup and they need someone to be there for them and they don't feel like they have anybody. That's been the biggest gift, is like being able to help people and touch people's lives in a way that, you know, you can't just do through, I don't know, red carpet pictures, you know, it's so much bigger than that. But I think the tricky part about it is the privacy and the fame. You know, I think if I could do it all over again, I might have gone into songwriting more than performing, because I love creating the music and I love writing and I love but I sometimes envy people like Sia, who have the ability to, you know, cover their faces and live life as a normal person, kind of.
Right.
I mean, she deals with fame at a crazy level, so that's a bad example. But you know, it's things like that where it's like maybe I would have selected this industry, but a different role in it,
so that
I could still create but live privately.
Mm. So I still want to, you know, we'll elaborate on that. But while we're speaking of masks, I do want to ask you what DJ Marshmallow look like, because I didn't figure this shit out yet.
I'm like, this is a little cutie. He's so cute. I was like, oh my gosh, why do you wear a giant thing on your head?
Right. I'm like, if I saw him in the elevator, I'd be like,
It's funny.
It's funny. It's crazy too, because when I first got in the music industry, I wanted to be a CEO. Like, I wanted to be this executive. Mm. I wanted to be, you know, the boss, and I was spending my money to put other people on, and it just didn't work out that way for me. Mm. And when I was kind of forced into having to be an artist, it was fun at first. Like I was, mm-hmm. you know, everybody knew me, which they did already from the streets. But then it got to a point where it was overwhelming. It was like mm-hmm. I didn't have any, I couldn't find my peace at times. You know right. what I'm saying? And then it's, truth be told, like many people, just I'm really naturally an introvert. Like seriously, mm-hmm. I can be by myself.
Yeah, I am too.
Right, I can be by myself all day, and, yes. and I'm better that way. I'm better. Yes. I charge more, you know, and you know, getting to that point where I just started being open minded, like you know, read more books and just you know, focusing on like working on myself. That's when I feel the best, and I felt like when I got into the industry and the success hit. It was harder to do that because, you know, you're being pulled and, you know, pushed from every direction. And it just like sometimes it get overbearing and it just like you have to just stop and just naturally just find yourself and go, OK, this is where I'm at. And I'm going to do what's in my heart and what I feel and not what somebody's telling me. Because once the money started coming in, everybody's like, yo, you should do this. You should stand yes. there. You should hold this. Yes. You should drink that. It's like, yo, I'm yes. trying to stop drinking. Why you got me holding this bottle? Matter of fact, bring me another one. You know what I'm saying? Yes. and it was that. And it was crazy because I was watching TV one day and I was like 260. Weight. You know what I'm saying? I'm naturally like a slim guy. And it was because all I was doing was partying and eating Waffle House and drinking Cristal. And I'm just looking at myself and I'm like, on TV, I'm like, yo, I got to really do something. So yeah. I went on a whole thing between my second and third album where I just started researching all these books and just finding out about health, mental health.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know, just, you know, health, personal health. And I just went, I realized I wasn't even drinking water. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I was like going like months without water because I'm just wow. like, yo, drinking and mm-hmm. having a good time. And long story short, I just started I started to look better, to feel better. And I lost 60 pounds mm. on my own, you know, just you know, working out, getting up, doing my thing every morning. And I never felt better. And it just gave me such peace because I did it on my own away mm-hmm. from like the industry and all the yeah. noise. You know,
I think like we have to, when we're projected onto these pedestals and these screens, I mean, literal screens, millions of screens at a time, right. we have right. to figure out how to come back within and we have to center ourselves. We have to ground ourselves. And whether that's through meditation or it sounds like to me, like you found it through exercise and, yeah. and reading, like that's incredible. And it's just like, we have to remind ourselves to take these times or just these breaks throughout our career because we'll right. just run ourselves into the ground if we don't, you know, it gets exhausting and we have to, I was kind of, you know, I've done a lot of self-reflecting this year because of quarantine. I've had so much time right. at home to stop and think. And even when I didn't want to, you know, I had no other choice but to think. And right. And so I've done a lot of self-reflecting and learned a lot about myself this last year, but it's because I had that time to stop. Yeah. yeah. And right. it's so important that we allow ourselves those moments.
Yeah. The words of a wise man, either you're going to get better during this pandemic or bitter. That's what it's
wow.
like.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And it's crazy that you say that because I think a lot of people are really finding themselves in this pandemic because you have a lot of time to sit and be still mm-hmm. because we're all on the same playing ground mm-hmm. and you know, you get that quiet moment where you're just sitting there, you go, you know what, I should have done that. Matter mm-hmm. of fact, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna try
yeah.
it. I mean, which brings us here. Like I wasn't a podcaster, but I want to talk to interesting people
yeah.
and get some insight. That happened during the quarantine, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Right.
That's
so I
wouldn't
really awesome. I wouldn't have done that on my own.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training, and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
So talk to me about, so now you went from being a child star, now you're a rock star, so to speak. And I love the way you said help people through a Saturday lonely night. Do you go about writing music that way? Like, do you know how your words were, you know, transcend or connect with people, or how they would take them? So you're writing them to help them, or you're writing them to release for yourself?
Well, I think it started out when I was 15, making my first album. It started out writing for other people, and I would, because I had this, my management was like, all right, you have an album to make and we have to release it by this summer. Well, this was March when this happened. And so I was like, all right, I got to put together an album. So I cranked out, you know, however many songs were on the first album and wrote them, but with the idea that it was going to be this album. Now, throughout my life, I've utilized going into the studio as a therapeutic tool.
Absolutely.
To help me. And so when even if I'm just inspired, you know, if I'm excited about a certain style of music I'm listening to, and I'm like, I would rather spend my Friday night in the studio than out and about doing whatever, like, that's what I'm going to choose. And it'll be therapeutic for me. And I'll make it personal so that it's cathartic, but at the same time, people can relate to it. And then it helps other people. And so I've learned to kind of change my priorities from making albums to help people to, all right, let's just like do this for you. And then you share it with people. And if it helps people, awesome. And if they don't relate, then they don't listen to it. And who cares?
Right, right. So, no, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, as artists, is I've you know, you have to be, your truth is somebody else's truth. So if you're going in and you're pinning out the way you feel, 9 times out of 10, somebody out there is going to feel you.
Yes.
And be like, yo, that's what's up. I mean, even when I was writing a lot of my first music, I was writing what I thought was the way you write records because of what I've seen and heard in the past. And the minute somebody sat me down, I was like, won't you talk about the real things you do? And I was like, well, one, I don't want to go to jail, but we'll figure that out later. But when I figured that part out, I was like, you know what? Right. I'm just going to tell the truth. And that's around the time that my career, you know, started to move forward, is when I started really being like truthful, like every word that I wrote. Speaking of truth, like, you open up to your fans about like just you know, how you feel about mental health and health period. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I've been really open about all of the struggles that I've had over the years. My life has been you know, full of ups and downs. I've had many highs, many lows, and some of those lows, it started out in the beginning of my career. I talked a lot about bullying because I had been bullied in middle school. And it was like, you know, when social media was just beginning. And so I dealt with the online bullying, and that was just a different experience. And it was terrible. I left school. So that I was an advocate for anti-bullying. And then I went to treatment for an eating disorder. And then I became an advocate for, you know, eating disorder recovery and trying to raise the awareness about that. And then I started to talk about my issues with sobriety and substance abuse. And I've had a very public struggle with substance abuse over the past few years. And, you know, I think the best way to go about helping others when talking about mental illness is just like having conversations, letting people know that they're not alone. Because we all know somebody that, if we're not dealing with it ourselves, we all know somebody that's dealing with a mental illness of some sort. And we have to take the stigma and the taboo away from it. We have to talk about it and just... once we start talking about it, we can bring it into schools. We can bring it into, you know, conversations with younger audiences and so that they don't feel isolated when they get into an age where they're starting to deal with depression and things like that. They can have the tools to be like, oh, I learned about this in school. I am going to do the tools they taught me and I'll be okay. You know, it's like providing that awareness is so important. And this year more than ever, it's more important because so many people who have never had mental illness or mental health issues, their whole lives are dealing with it this year because of the amount of stress and anxiety this year has brought people.
The uncertainty and just the undue stress of not knowing where the economy is and where the world is.
Right.
And you having kids that's having to sit home during the quarantine, this subject to abuse now they can't leave their abusers.
You got
women going through the same thing. They're stuck in the house with abusive husbands and so on and so forth. It's crazy because I just, when I talk to you, it's like you're such a like angel. It's just like you're just angelic. It's just like, I'm like, yo, my sister's been through some real shit out here. I just gotta call bro on the line, like, yo.
We'll connect on a not broadcast call, and I'll tell you the real shit.
I love it. But it's crazy that you say you became an advocate because I know your voice reaches so far. And even for me, like, you know, even when I went through my little spills of things, like, and I said this, I think, on another podcast with Dr. Jess, and she's a She's a therapist and a psychologist. And I was just like, yo, I was going through these spells and I didn't even know I was depressed because we don't talk about it. So there was no awareness when I was coming up and being bullied. You know, I don't even know what that's like, because when you think about it, you know, if you are on social media, which, you know, most of us are, you know, is how do you prevent your kids or your loved ones from being bullied? You know, because it's there, but we're not discussing it. So it might hit them a different way, because for us, it was in a classroom.
Right.
Or at PE or at lunch. But now it's, you know, social, and they're on social media. And I commend you for bringing awareness to it, because bullying is something that wouldn't come off the top of my head when you think about what's going on in the world, but it really happens.
Yeah, definitely. And online bullying, I feel like, can be really insidious, especially with kids, because, you know, it can be something as little as a subtweet, you know, or it can be, it starts off that way. It starts off as a subtweet. It starts off as something, you know, not that big of a deal, but then it can get really brutal, and kids can be ruthless because there's not really consequences, I think, at that age, legally, you know, for people. They don't understand the repercussions of their words until someone does something. And I was close to doing that. And, you know, I was dealing with depression on a astronomical level at that age, because I was getting no support from my peers at that time. And, but yeah, it's just, it's something that's, it's new, and it's a concept that I think adults didn't really know how to process or like, talk to their kids about. And so I was like, hey, this is what I dealt with right before I got with Disney Channel. I'm going to talk about it. And because other people need to know that it, you know, it'll be okay. I don't know, there are consequences. I don't know. There laws need to change so that harassment online is taken as seriously as physical harassment, in my opinion.
Right. And I think because it's so, you know, cause you can, people have ghost accounts and, you know, it's so tricky, you know what I mean? But it's just like the one thing that you would arm somebody with, because I don't know if you watch Social Dilemma, which is a documentary on Netflix. And when I watched that, I was just overwhelmed, like, by just like the dams, because it's like these people designed these apps to basically control human beings, to make us the product, to have people you know, herded like, you know, sheep and put in certain places so that you can advertise. And then to see that, you know, turn into something that people can almost use as a weapon, because you got kids out here that, you know, commit suicide just because of, you know, DMs, or it makes it easier for like sexual predators to you know, to contact kids. So I really commend you on that.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
You said you went through some things at a time where you with substance abuse. Was that like something you like understood while you was going through it, that you had to just, because my mom and people before me went through it, but my mom, when she came out of it, you know, and she came out strong and mm-hmm. stronger.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I applauded her ever since. And I just know that's like a space, because I had my thing where, you know, I came from my family and it was more so like, you know, my mom and my dad, they drink. So, you know, like, right. like I was drinking mm-hmm. like a fish and didn't really realize that, you know, it was a lot.
Right.
And I had to really fight it myself. So I'm just asking on your end, like, what was that for you?
Yeah, mine was more drugs. I was never really a big drinker because my eating disorder didn't really allow me to consume that many calories without that much guilt. So I was really? More, yeah. To me, it was like alcohol. It takes too long and there's too many calories. So I'm just going to go straight
much,
for what?
Too much work.
Too much work. So I was like, I'm just going to go for what I actually
right,
want.
Right, right,
and,
right.
And I did. And I ran my life into the ground. And I think it was a accumulation of so many things. It was childhood and other traumas that had manifested that I'd never took the time to really dig deep and look into. I think because scheduling, I didn't have time.
Right.
And two, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready until this year. I dug wow. deep and did a lot of work this year, actually. And I don't know if I would have had the time, you know, I don't know. I was finally ready. And so I'm in a great place now. And I have a documentary coming out next year that, you know, it goes into detail about what substances I, you know, was abusing and all of that. So the details are kind of saved for all of that.
Correct.
But yeah, it's just like, In 2018, I had a very public drug overdose and almost didn't make it. And when I did, it really woke me up and I had to really take a look at my life and be like, all right, I shouldn't be here today from a doctor's standpoint. What makes me unhappy and what do I want to live for? And so I really started taking a look at my life and I just started living. I realized that my food stuff was a main catalyst behind that. I needed to heal my eating disorder before I could consider myself recovered from substances. But yeah, it's a journey, and I'm still learning about myself every day, and I don't ever want to stop, to be honest.
Right, right.
I get off on learning more about myself.
I can see it in your eyes. You're like, yeah.
I'm like, let's go, let's meditate.
It's going down. Yo, I commend you, though, because when I started speaking with you, I'm like, yo, she's such a G, though. But I can see where you went through, you went through things, and you just seem like a fighter to me. Like, you just seem... it's like somebody that's strong mentally, and it takes these small knockdowns for you to get up even stronger. And even the eating disorder thing, because I don't really I'm not really aware, I've heard about it, but mm-hmm. like you look great, like you know what I mean, like we like it like this, you know what I mean, like we don't want you to and it's even that, like just three things you just named to me. Sometimes your mission in life is bigger than your gift, because you are an artist, you are an actor, you have been successful, but it seems like me, your mission is even larger. And speaking of that, even with the song you sent me, I just felt like you was taking a real stance for the people. And I'm like, I got to take her to Rudy's Chicken in Dallas, because she got to see what she's working with.
Yes,
I got to
so
go
excited.
Take her to Dallas with the homies. Yes. Like, y'all remember Hell Lil Dibby from around the corner? Yeah, she back.
Yes.
But it just, and I check you out on the gram, and it's just like, I just see you, like, you just stand for a lot. And I've been watching what you was doing when all the racial tension was going on, and getting ready for this last election, how you was pushing going into this this Georgia Senate race, where does that come from? Like, where's that passion for politics and the people and to let your voice be heard? Like, where does that come from?
So I think at the beginning of this year, I wouldn't have seen myself doing all of this. I think that there was a couple of factors that came into play. Because I did work on myself, I was able to look outside of myself for once. You know, it was no longer about my struggles and my this and my story and blah, blah, blah. It was like, I'm so done talking about that. I want to fight for other people now. I know that you had to have had this feeling too, but I definitely had this feeling of like I was pacing in my house during the lockdown and watching the news and thinking, what the fuck can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And I would stay up crying because I would watch these videos of these men getting shot or strangled for doing nothing. And that infuriated me. And here I am looking at a house and a roof that I have over my head. And I credit that to the Black woman that I grew up singing to, Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin. And then even the white women that I grew up singing to, they were influenced by the Black women. So it's like when I did a dissection of, okay, where did this roof over my head come from? I was like, I don't feel good about just sitting here and not speaking for people that have majorly influenced my life and given me so much and affected me and inspired me. Like, I don't feel good about just sitting here and not doing anything or posting selfies on my social media account. I have to do more. And so that's when, I brought that track to you. I started posting more on my social media accounts, less about what I was doing in quarantine and more about like what the fuck was going on in the world. And I realized as we were getting closer to the election, the more anxiety I had, the more I wanted to post and the more I wanted to get it out. And so that's how I kind of coped with my stress and anxiety, was like, I want to help so bad and I don't know how, so I'm just going to do as much as I can. And I don't want to stop and I want to keep going. And it's been so stimulating for me, spiritually, intellectually, emotionally. Like, I feel stimulated almost sometimes more than I do just from getting on stage and singing to adoring fans, as amazing and incredible as that is. There was something about being able to actually help people and make a difference, that really kind of shifted my thinking into, all right, what is the trajectory of your life going to look like now? Because you're taking on more of an activist role. And is that what you want your future to look like? And I think it is. I want to take on a more activist role, and I want to fight for people. And it's just, you know, it's so much bigger than me. That's the story I want to tell. Right. I told my story for so long, and it's bigger than me now.
That mission, because a lot of the things that you've been through, to me, they made you who you are today and this new person that you're becoming. And the reason why I say, because I had to work on myself a lot as well, because I brought a lot of, you know, just bad things in with me, and I had to just work my way through that. But a lot of people see me today and go, no, you're like, oh, you evolved, you changed so much. And it's like, nah, I just started putting people first. And that's like the first step to healing, you know, is to start to have a bigger cause than yourself and to put energy into helping other people. And that's how you're right. You become fulfilled yourself, because if you make it all about you and you're not doing well mentally because you have things going on, that means the whole ship is stopped. You know what I'm saying? But if you're looking out for people, you're doing things outside of yourself, and that's a great part of healing. You know, and I've been through that shit myself, so I feel you on that. But it's crazy because it looks good on you. You look like you ready for the world. Like you're like with quarantine over, I'm popping out. You know,
I am gonna pop out like a duck in the box. I'm so ready for this quarantine to be over.
Right, but, you gotta pop out. Speaking of quarantine being over, what are your plans? Do you have new music coming after the quarantine? Like, what are you thinking? Talk to me.
Definitely.
What you got? Can we talk about it? Can we get some exclusive here?
I mean, you know what? I'm going to give you the tea, and then if they don't want me to say it, then they'll take it out.
There it is.
The tea is, I am releasing an album and a documentary next year.
Nice.
And I just couldn't be more excited. I've been working on this album since 2018. Okay. And, you know, my life has just taken so many twists and turns since then. And it's changed the direction, the sound, the stories. And then, you know how it is when you're making an album, one song trumps another one because what it's about has more meaning now than your last relationship, you know? So it's like, it's just things like that. So I'm really excited to release all of this new music, but the documentary I'm excited about too. It's a docuseries, and it'll be on YouTube, and I'm going to tell my story and just where I'm at, where I've been, what I've been up to this year, and where I'm going.
Yeah, it looked like you go wherever you go and just send me, just drop a pin, drop your
ad.
Yeah,
I got you.
I'm a pull up. I'm a pull up.
Yes, yes.
See what's going on out there. So for those who are out there in podcast world listening, you know, this is a great friend of mine. Great soul, great person.
Thank you.
Straight G. She's from the Triple D. If you don't know. And it's just crazy to see you made your way from, you know, a place like Dallas to LA and find yourself so comfortable there. And it's just like you're working on yourself every day. And I could see that just being, you know, just a friend. And I commend you for everything you're doing, for using your voice and your influence to help and to reach and to teach people. And I thank you so much for stopping by the podcast and the Recessing Podcast. And if you need anything ever, your big brother is here.
Thank you.
Let me know and I'll pull right up.
And I
can't wait till the quarantine is over so we can hang out. You know,
yes,
and
I can
take you to that cookout I was telling you about.
Yes, let's go.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Demi Lovato, she got some things in the making. Thank you so much, sis. Be safe.
Thank you.
And anytime you need me, I'm here.
For sure. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Recessing Podcast by Jeezy, a production of Black Effect and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts, visit the iHeartRadio app
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful Black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.